God is very sensitive. He's like a dove. Anytime that you get into a service to where personality is projected or tries to project itself, the Holy Spirit just goes away. And it just puts a damper on everything. This happened, seems like in the Cherokee meeting here, that Satan has fought me as hard as I've ever seen him fight in a meeting. And even though we had plenty of people out to preach to, yet it's been a real problem to me. And I was discussing it with some of the fellows last night. And some of my fellows, they're not to the place that they don't understand when they miss God. They know. They know when they miss the moving of the Spirit. And they understand. Brother in the service last night missed the moving of the Spirit of God, and as quick as he missed the Spirit of the Lord, he walked outside and told some of them, said, "I've already made a mistake." And he came to me tonight as a confirmation of it, and it was exactly what he'd done at the very time that he'd done it, the very thing that I saw it interfere with the Spirit of God. And he said, "I knew it." So I knew when I did it. And then, of course, that made way for something else to interfere. And I've learned one thing, and that is that when you give place to something, then immediately you give place to something else. And I saw the same brother tonight go right back and do the same thing all over again in the same way, or in just a little different way. But nevertheless, we're here to love the Lord and try to talk with you about the Word of God. See, here we come for one purpose, and that is to be able to win a soul or to tell about the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference what we do from the time that we come here. If we don't get the Word of God over, we fail God. If I come here, if I fast, if I pray, I can study, I can do whatever I want to, but if I don't get the Word of God over, I've still failed God. And if we come here to tell about Jesus and try to get the Word of Christ over to the people, it doesn't matter whatever we might add to the service or take away from the service, it's of no benefit unless the Word gets over to the people. And of course, you're very limited as to how you can get the Word to people. People are not Word-oriented. They just don't understand the Word. They're dogma-oriented. They're religiously oriented. And they know about many things, religious things, but they don't know much about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. They talk about Jesus, and they call on the name of Jesus, and they'll tell you that they love Jesus. But Jesus said, though they cry loud, he said, "I won't hear them." Because he said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And he said, "It's not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, that shall inherit the kingdom of God, but rather he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." These are the ones that enter in. Judas obtained part of the ministry, and the Bible said he failed by transgression. Esau had the right to the birthright, but because he was not concerned enough about it, and he got his mind on the things of the world and was more interested in doing the things of the world, he lost his rights to the birthright. And though he went back and tried to repent, went back as Judas did, Judas tried to repent, but he couldn't find the place of repentance. Esau tried to repent, but he couldn't find any place of repentance. And so then in that he did not find any place of repentance, he lost the birthright. It had already been given. See, and a lot of people, they spend their times in the frolics of the world, in the interest of the world, in the things of the world, as to the securities of the world. And they just let the church people go on and let the others struggle and carry the load and pray fast and let the others listen to the Word of God, and they just come when they want to and do what they want to whenever they get ready, the way that they want to, and they say, well, God said for us to work out our own salvation, you know, and so they won't listen to anybody else. They just work out their own little thing. Whereas the Bible does say, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And that is, come and let us reason together as to the Word, as to God. Come and let us reason together. And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And the Bible said, exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. So, some of you, in your hearts, you had rather have the things of the world. You had rather have the love of the world. You'd rather take your time for the things of the world. And you'd rather have the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all of those things that God has condemned and said would pass away. And in this, it makes it very difficult to be able to minister the word to people who are that frame of mind. We're living in a day that's called the Laodicean age, which is the lukewarm age of every man wanting his own way, every woman wanting her own way, everyone wanting to do things their own way. Even the races, the people of the world, everybody, nation against nation, tribe against tribe, kingdom against kingdom, individual against individual. And it's just a terrible situation. And the preacher, he's right out there in the midst of all of it. You know, let me say this. God, when he made man in the garden, that, of course, we're familiar with, when he made man in the garden, he gave man a mind, and he intended for all generations and every individual that come into the world to have that one mind. He never intended for them to have but one mind. Just one mind, that's all. But when sin got in and when Satan got in, hundreds and thousands and millions of devils or demons or fallen angels got into the human body through the act of reproduction. As man began to multiply and replenish the earth, which was a command of God, all of these demons having gotten in, it has split the people's minds up like splinters. And when you go to talk to people, depending on how many people you have, you can have hundreds of different minds, hundreds of thousands of different minds in the world that you have to deal with. And a mind is a world. It's a power. It's a sovereignty. It's a strength. And you have to deal with it. And this makes it very difficult. So when the preacher comes, the one thing that he has to depend on, he does not have to depend on the anointing coming and anointing him. Because, as I said last night, he does not have to get anointed. He is God's anointed. He is God's anointed. Wherever he goes, at all times, if he meets you on the corner, if he meets you down at the service station, if he meets you, wherever he meets you, he is God's anointed, and he's there to give you the word. But he does have to depend on the anointing. To this extent, he must create an environment and create the right kind of environment. Whereas he can do that in the day that we're living in. This is the days of grace. The blood is on the seat of atonement. And he can do that if everything works right. So he must, of necessity, create an environment. And that environment is the spiritual mind of Christ. And when this environment comes, it's called the anointing. It is the Word, the Spirit Word, not the printed page. But the Spirit Word, he only talks to you, that is, the preacher only talks to you from the printed page to get your minds oriented in the Word to where the Spirit can come. And when the Spirit comes, that is the Word. That's Christ himself. That's God. In the beginning was the Word. God is the anointing. He's the Word. So the mind of Christ begins to fall over the audience. And that sacred environment. And then everybody gets into one mind. They withdraw from their own understanding. Whereas the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Acknowledge the Lord in all of thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. And so then it's drawn in. You're drawn in to that thing. And then the preacher can start to speak And his mind is drawn into that too. And because he's God's anointed, and he's been trying to get in touch with the Lord for your sake. And so the Holy Spirit can just begin to speak. And the Bible said it's not the minister speaking, but God speaking from within him. Let all the world keep silent because God is in his temple. And we hear things, we see things, and we feel of a certainty that was just magnificent. That was God, that was majesty from on high. But all it did was just conglomerate. And somebody else in a more simple-like way did something, and we heard that, and it was just unbelievable as to the anointing of God. Somebody does some simple little thing and just flows right into the anointing, and it's just wonderful. Like the brethren that sang a while ago, I appreciate them singing that song from the book of Revelation. I like that. It's a praise. It's the word of the Lord. And you could just feel the presence of the Lord. It was sweet. It was warm. Precious. It aids me in the ministry. It brings me into the right place. It prepares a place when I come up here. It's like the prophets of old. They wouldn't prophesy unless the atmosphere was right. They'd say, bring somebody. Let them play the timbrel. Let them do something. Let them get the minds together. Let them get the atmosphere right. Because they didn't want to prophesy presumptuously, because the Bible said, if a prophet prophesy presumptuously, that prophet shall die. So they didn't want to do that. They want to be sure that we're inspired of God. Whereas the Bible tells us to prophesy according to our proportion of faith. When we get inspired, we should speak. When the inspiration leaves, we should stop. Unless we're God's anointed for that purpose. Now, so I said all of that to say this. That when Satan got into the minds of the people, it really made a mess. And God has been trying to correlate, like out in the West when they have roundup time. And he's been trying to round up his people ever since. And Satan has enlarged in the lives of certain people, and he's done things so magnificent in the earth until he's got hundreds of thousands of followers. The same thing that he did when he magnified himself and tried to raise himself up above God and the throne of God, and said, I shall ascend above the stars, set my throne on the side of the mountain, and I shall be like unto the Most High. He's done that in the earth and in his earthly practices. And so he has captivated the minds of the people. He's got their interest. I hope you'll pardon my expression. But he's got their interest in the most childish, the most foolish, the most nothing things that can be imaginable. They do the silliest. They spend their money for that which is not satisfied. And they spend their time seeking after something that will exhilarate or activate the fleshly man and make him alive and holler and scream and have a good time and all these kind of things. And Satan keeps them bound in the lust of the flesh, in that the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. And he fills your heart with the love of things. Now folks, it's not wrong to have things if you have the right things. If you have the right things. And you say, well, what is the right things, Brother Pike? The Bible said, seek ye first the knowledge, the understanding, the kingdom of God. Then you'll know what the right things are. All of these will be added unto you. That is the right things. And you won't be robbed of anything at all. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, addeth no sorrow. He makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He feeds you with the heritage of Jacob. His blessing will give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in him. You'll like no good thing if you walk upright before him. He took David from out on the hillside, a little shepherd boy, and made him a great, mighty king, where people praised and admired him. He anointed him, he blessed him, he led him, he guided him, until all of the world that was the known world of that hour sought just to see David, talk with David, to be part of David, or to have friendship with David, because they knew he was such a great, mighty man. See, that was the Lord. You say, how do you know it was the Lord? Because it's very obvious when the anointing of God lifted off of David for the period of time that it did to let David be chastised. He wound up in the mountains running like a wild animal. And feigning himself as a madman to keep the others from killing him. He had no prestige. He had no ability. He had no nothing. He realized it wasn't David, it was God. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then we don't need to seek after things. We need to seek after God and let God take care of us. Let God bless us. We don't need the love of the world in our heart. I hope you don't mind me talking to you just a minute or two. I do this pretty often. See, I'm trying to collect your minds. And as I said, minds scattered by demons and devils, the lust of the flesh, practices, all kinds of things, everything but the word of the Lord. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see what he wants us to do. That we can, as with Paul, say, it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, anyway, God scattered the people at Babylon. Isn't that right? The Tower of Babylon. They were going up with this tower, and they were going to build it to make themselves a name. Didn't see anything about building it to make Christ or the Lord a name. He said, we're going to make ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the earth. And the Lord looked down and he said, I better do something about this. He said, there won't be nothing hid from these folks. The way they're going, he said, well, they're planning to build this thing right on up to heaven. And they could have done it. They could have done it. You know, you say, oh, Brother Pike, don't be absurd. There's no possible way. Oh, yes, they could. I wish we had time to get into Revelation tonight and show you positively that they could have went into heaven with it. You know, when you think about building up to heaven, you just think about going stone upon stone and going and going and going. But it is a true fact. Folks have been way up there and they've not found heaven up there yet. So it might be that you have a misconcept of things. But anyway, they were going to build it to heaven. They were going to build it toward the star that represented Lucifer, or toward the name that represented the flesh, which was the red dragon, which is the generation of vipers, which is the flesh, that which Paul said there's no good thing in, for in my flesh there's no good thing, he said. And they was going to build it in their own way and do it according to their desire. So the Lord, he just, it's like the pyramid of Egypt. He never has let them capstone it. It's toward the star of the dragon. So he didn't let him capstone it. And the Lord, he just tore down the Tower of Babel, confused their language, scattered them throughout the earth, and he never let them come back together until the day of Pentecost. After that he died for the remission of sin, then from every nation unto heaven people gathered. And there they started another tower. And this time it was that great, lovely pyramid city that's called the Bride of Christ that John saw descending from heaven out of the Spirit with its light most precious, even the Bride of Christ. That is to say, when Paul come, Paul the Revelator, when he come after Calvary, then he started to building the fallen down house of David. He said, I'm a wise master builder, and it's not me living but Christ. And he said, this is the city, as we say, that Abraham sought for, whose builder and maker is God. He said, it's not me living, it's Christ. I'm the wise master builder. You're the lively stones. You're to be built up into a holy priesthood, even a habitation for God. He started with the revelation of the Son of God, being caught up to the third heaven. He was our overseer, and he was looking toward our day, that this wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, as you read across here, should be perfected in your heart, and you should be ready to be capstoned by the coming of the magnificence of the Son of God. But instead, going an opposite way, people have strayed off, strayed off. But he did let a group of people continue, and they've continued until this very day. Little flock, he said, fear not, little flock. It's a little flock. Few there be that find it. Strive to enter into the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. You know, you may try to be religious. You may join a church. You may do a lot of things and still not get into the kingdom. So then running it up at Pentecost to the capstone, even the Lord Jesus, laying the foundation of the 12 apostolic leaders, taking the lively stones of them that he gathered, building the walls, and then Paul, the wise master builder, showing Christ, caught up to the third heaven to show us the capstone of it. He allowed that tower to continue to be built because it was built to magnify him, to magnify his name, and it was not built unto the star of the dragon, but unto the morning star, the bride and the morning star, even Christ. And as one of the writers there at the council at Pentecost, when he stood up, said, and this agrees with what the prophets have said, for I will return in the latter times, or the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David, which is, of course, the temple of Solomon, which, of course, represents the Holy Spirit. So I said all of that to say this. God collected their minds, and the reason they built that tower and have been building it ever since, and God has not scattered them, it is because they got in one mind, even the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to the mind God had intended for them to be in at the beginning in the garden. And they got in one accord, and that accord was to do the will of God, and that was to build unto a centralized point as to praise and honor to his wonderful name. So that is why we wait to try to move with the Spirit. We've got to get those minds together, one mind and one accord, in the Spirit on the Lord's day, as it was with John. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. All right, I want to read just a little bit of scripture here. All right, anyway, let's read from chapter 2, and I'll make motions and do whatever to get this thing to where I can holler at you and it won't bother you. Preachers start off talking, you know, and they wind up hollering. The Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. Chapter 2 in the book of Haggai, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. It's the 6th verse. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to notice now, he said, and I will shake all nations, talking about America too, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will shake all nations, and then the desire of all nations shall come. How do you know that the Bible teaches that God has prepared all men's hearts alike? And that the desire of all men is that spirit of peace and eternal life, which is Christ or God. How do you understand that? So then he said, and I will shake all nations. He said in one place, I not only will shake the earth, as I did in the days of Moses. He said, but the next time, I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to shake the heavens. Read it in Revelation, the 8th chapter, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. You can read it right there. You can see that the stars begin to fall from heaven. As those trumpets begin to sound, as the 7 trumpets begin to sound, one woe comes and another woe, and one plague and another plague. And all of a sudden, the heavens begin to shake and the stars of heaven begin to fall out of their sockets and fall into the earth. God said, I will shake the heavens. I've shaken the earth. He said, in the days of Moses, I shook the earth. And I gave a great mighty display of signs and wonders and miracles. And I sent Moses down into the land of Egypt to free my people. Said, I shook the earth. I opened up the Red Sea. I opened up the earth. And thousands of people went down into the pit quickly. He said, and I did that because I'm God. He said, but in your day, Brother Pike, in the days of the people that I'm looking at right now and speaking to right now, he said, in your day, he said, I'm going to shake the heavens till the stars fall out. And I'm going to shake the heavens till fire and brimstone comes out of heaven and rains down upon the generations. I'm actually going to rain fire and brimstone out of heaven, he said, upon the heads of this wicked, adulterous, sinful generation, because they won't listen to me, because they won't hear me. And he said, though they cry loud to me, he said, I'm not going to hear them. They may cry loud to me, he said, because their deeds are evil, and they are wicked people, and they won't listen at me, and they don't try to honor me and conform to my way and to do the thing that I desire that they should do, but they do the thing that they want to do. Every man has turned to his own way, and every man has looked to his own quarter for his own gain, and every man has went after what he wanted, and every man has allowed the house of God to lay waste. And he said, I looked down into the earth to see if I could find at least one. He said, out of the entire earth, I never did find one. Said, there was not one of them good. No, not one of them. All of them have turned to their own way and done their own thing and let the house of the Lord lay waste. And he said, because of that, he said, I've cursed them with a curse. He said, you're cursed with a curse. He said, I've even cursed your blessings because you've let my house lay waste. And he said, I've cursed the fruit of the womb. When your little children are born, there's things that's wrong with them. There's diseases. There's all kinds of things wrong with humanity today, even from their birth. And if not of their birth, then it's not long after that they're born into the world that they find themselves in such a terrible, terrible condition until they know that they've been cursed of God instead of blessed of the Lord. So then you are cursed with a curse. You failed to get the blessing of the Lord because you've not done the will of God. You failed to have the blessing of God because you have not done the will of God. And see, this is what God is displeased with. God is displeased with you because you have not done the will of God. What is the will of God? The Bible teaches that we should do the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is His Word. He tells us in His Word just exactly what He would like for us to do. Isn't that right? He tells us just what He wants out of our lives and what He would like for us to be and what He would like for us to do. But see, folks, the problem is that the things that God wants doesn't agree with our desire. See, we're born into sin. We're born into this world in sin. Come in through the first man, Adam, and we come into this world of sin, and we find ourselves continually lusting after the things of the world, which things God doesn't want anything to do with. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, don't you realize that God made this world and everything in this world belongs to God? I know that. I know that. All things are made by God. But the thing is, right at this present moment, all of these things are under a curse. They are under a curse. Even the ground was cursed when man sinned against God. And God said, out of the thorns and the thistles and out of the dirt, you'll make your living. And even the children being born into the world, he told the woman, said, ye shall travail to bring forth your children. Whereas there would have been no pain in bringing forth children to multiply and replenish the earth. But the curse is that this is the way it is to be. And just as long as you are away from God, and as long as you don't acknowledge God, then you are under the curse. He said, I have cursed your blessings. He said, you will make much money. He said, but you won't take home but little. He said, because when you make it, he said, I will blow upon it. Folks, I tell you what, there's a strong wind that's called the IRS that's sweeping over the people, and they're losing their money. Did you know that? There's some strong things, winds, that's sweeping over the people, and though the people are making more money than they've ever made in all of their life, yet they're not satisfied. They're still having problems. They can't make ends meet even as well as the forefathers did with the little bit of money and the blessings of God that they had in that day. And they're in debt for their home, and they're in debt for their car, and they're in debt for the lights and light bill, and they're in debt for everything. And they just can't make things meet. They can't make things work out. It's just a continual oppression. Somebody said, well, someday, if I keep working, Brother Pike, I'm going to get this thing together, and I'm going to retire, and I'm going to have what I want. There'll never be a day like that. There'll never be a day like that.
God isn't going to let you have that kind of day because you are wicked. And God said, I'm going to blow on it. He said, and if you make much, he said, you'll bring home little, because I'm going to blow on it until you don't have anything to bring home, folks. God means what he says. See, this is the problem. We don't take God serious about what he says. When God says, I'm going to blow on it, he's got some strong winds. Did you know that? The Bible teaches that this thing is going to get so severe that the great towering buildings in New York and London and the different places are actually going to crumble to the ground. John said, I looked and I saw the cities of the nations literally crumble to the ground. So then God is going to blow on it. He's only blowing on it a little bit now just to get your attention. He doesn't want to just send a devastating blow to completely disarm you or dismantle everything and take it away from you. He wants you to repent of your sins. God doesn't want your goods. God doesn't want to take what you got. God isn't against you. God isn't trying to hurt you. But he's got to have your attention. And he's got to have it in one mind and one accord. Not in the Baptist and in the Methodist and the Presbyterian. It's not in the Church of God and the UPC and the Assemblies of God. It's not in the Mormon. It's not in these kind of titles and names that's given. God said you have a name that you live, but you're dead, some twice dead, plucked up by the root. That's not what it is. God wants your attention. He could care less about you belonging to one of those organizations or a church. That isn't going to do you any good. That's not going to take you to heaven because your grandmother or somebody else what had certain religious convictions, and then you try to follow after that. That isn't going to save you. God said, I want you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, in the evening time, it shall come to pass that there shall be light. God shall give light among the people. See, God is wanting you to have light. You can't go back there to those things. You've got to stay with God and stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Bible. You've got to move on with the Lord, folks, because God is wanting to do something in the midst of you. And if those people back there have the answer to the problem, then why is it that they wasn't translated and taken on without having to go by the way of the grave? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, let's have a little sense now. Everybody's got to die. That's the doctrine I'm speaking about, is I don't believe in that kind of doctrine. That's not Bible. God told me to preach the Word. He told you to listen to the Word. He told you to preach the Word. He told you to go into all the world, to carry the gospel to every creature. And that's not the gospel. So then, what must we do? God wants your attention. God must have your attention. Why does he want your attention? Because we are living near the time of the coming of the desire of all ages. The desire of all ages, like the song I wrote, the desire of all ages. I remember God giving us a song, the desire of all ages. And so the desire of all ages is ready to come. He's ready to come. He's standing there. He's waiting for your attention. But he can't come back unless he has your attention. You say, Brother Pike, why can't he come back? Because if he does, he will destroy you. And the Bible said, and he will destroy the man of perdition with the brightness of his coming. That's why this revelation has been held back from the other ages. See, because it has to do with the brightness of his coming, and this thing that's going to come is the knowledge of God, is the unveiled mystery of Christ, and the understanding of God is literally going to cause everything to disintegrate or just dissipate and pass away. Everything is going to pass away. You say, where's the Bible for that? The Bible said in the Ancient of Days said, and as he appeared, the great light came around, and the Bible said that the mountains fled away, and the Bible said the ocean fled away, and the Bible said there was no place found for these things, and everything in the earth fled away from the face of him that sat upon the throne. So then he's coming, the desire of all ages. But the thing is, you and I have got to get in Christ. We've got to become one with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible said he alone is heir to the glory of God. Christ within you, the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ on the inside of you, it doesn't matter how much you believe. You're still not a Christian. You're still not saved. You've got to have Christ on the inside of you. The Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. And there's but one spirit. That's the spirit of Christ. So then if you don't have Christ on the inside of you, that means that you're not saved. You must have Christ on the inside of you. Why must I have Christ? Because the Bible said he alone is made heir to the glory of God. And if I'm going to have the glory of God, I've got to have him on the inside of me. Because he alone is made heir. You know, I say this sometimes. It sounds maybe a little bit comical, but I don't mean it that way. I'm trying to explain something. In the days of Noah, look, 8 people, and that was it. The destruction came. The calamity befell the people, and there was only those 8 people. And then when the next great deluge come, God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. There was exactly half of those people. That is, there was just half as many as there was to start with. Did you notice that? Just half as many. And then when they got ready to cross the Jordan, God began to give another deliverance. The great calamity befell Egypt, and they got ready to go into another country. And folks, there was only half as many again. Did you notice that? There was 8 to start with Noah. And then the next move, there wasn't before Sodom and Gomorrah. And then when they got ready to cross the Jordan, there was only 2. And then when the next great deluge come, in the day when God turned the heavens black, smote Christ, or Jesus there, on Calvary, when God finished, only 1 made it across. He cut it in halves again. And there was only 1 that made it across. And that 1 was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, and the promise is not unto seeds as of many, but as unto seeds as of 1 Abraham, even thine own seed, Isaac, and unto seeds as of 1, that is to say, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Just 1 seed, even Isaac. Just 1 seed, even the Lord Jesus Christ. If I cannot be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, if I cannot be baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit, then I don't go. If I can't be one, I can't dwell in that light. He alone dwells in the light, having immortality. And the Bible said, no man can approach unto that light. No man has seen God at any time, nor can see God, the great light, who is the Spirit, because a man cannot even get near God. So then, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we are put in the midst of that light. One light, one Christ, one God, one faith, one baptism. And so then, we become the body of the Lord Jesus, and we are in that light. Having transformated into that light, when the great, wonderful Ancient of Days comes, then that means that at the coming of the Ancient of Days, we are one with the Ancient of Days. And when the great light appears, we appear as part of the great light. And this is why God works with you like children. Just a little bit of blessing and inspiration and knowledge. Today, a little more, tomorrow, and from glory to glory, from within the kingdom of God within you, from within the Christ that's within you, a little bit at a time, glory to glory, he is changing you as one beholding himself in an open face as to see the image of Christ and being changed into that very image from glory to glory, like tutoring you in a school. Are causing you to gradually or graduatingly speaking move from grade to grade toward a diplomacy of the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. And folks, this is why it's necessary for you and I to be able to get out here somewhere and pray and fast. This is why that you and I have the privilege to do it. Because if it wasn't for the blood on the seat of atonement, we couldn't do it. God wouldn't even hear us. And this is why it makes it necessary for us to do that, and then makes it necessary for us to take a graduality as from day to day tutoring, because it takes a long time to grow up into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Paul spent all of his life studying. And then when he studied the Old Testament and had studied for years, all of a sudden he came to this conviction. He said, now, 3.5 years or 3 years or more, I've got to spend out here with God. He didn't really understand that. But he spent that long separated from everybody, off by himself and talking to God, after having so much learning that even the great dignitaries of that day said, "Paul, much learning makes thee mad." And yet he had to spend these years with Christ. See, that's why the Bible said, meditate in the laws of God day and night, to walk in the Spirit, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a schooling. We've got to have this schooling, folks. We've got to have this to have the favor of God. I'm telling you, like I told some of them the other night, this thing of sitting around waiting for the Thessalonian change, where Paul the Revelator speaks of the Thessalonian change, sitting around waiting for some kind of change like that, that's absurd for you to be Bible scholars and think that you can sit around and go to heaven like that. Does it make sense to you that you can start in the third grade in school and be a dropout in the fifth grade, and in between the third and fifth just spend a few days going to school, and then after you drop out, in a few years, go by and pick up your diplomacy? Does that make sense? You know that doesn't make sense. See, you could never do that. You've got to move on with God. You've got to get into the body of Christ. You've got to get in with the followers of Christ. You've got to find out where Christ is in the church, and the true church. And you've got to get in there with them, and you've got to be part of them, and you've got to understand what they're saying, and get somebody to tutor you and somebody to instruct you that you might move on. You say, "But Brother Pike, I've been born again." I know that. Some of you have. Some of you only think that you've been born again. Some of you are believers. But if you believe, that doesn't mean you're born again. That doesn't mean you're a Christian. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. They tremble. But that doesn't mean that you've got God. The thing that's the proof of you having God is that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ who is heir to the glory. If you have not His Spirit, He said, you're none of mine. So then, becoming a believer, that makes you a candidate for it. So you have to let the Holy Spirit come in. And you've got to grow in that if you're going to grow into manhood. Otherwise, you're just going to be a little bitty baby. That's all. You're born again, a little bitty baby, and then you're not going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. See, somebody said, "Well, that's me. I just don't care for all of it. I'm just glad I got born again, you know, and I'm going to heaven." Let me tell you something, folks. The very fact that you've got that kind of frame of mind proves you never was born again. The nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a little child, the Bible said, is caught up to the throne. You'd have a nature to hunger and thirst after the things of God and to walk on with God if you'd been born again. And if you are born again, you may be now a little baby. You might have just got born again. Even in these services, you might have just got born again. See, but if you've got that nature, if you've got that spirit, that'll begin to pull at you and take you right on into the beautiful things of God. If you don't have a hunger for the things of God, and if you don't have a thirst for the things of God, it's a positive proof that you still haven't been born again. Can somebody say amen? So then we're talking about the Word of God tonight. We're talking about correlating the minds tonight. We're talking about bringing you into one unit tonight, bringing you into a membership tonight. We're talking about building up that holy priesthood, even the bride of Christ, building up this tower, building up this great city, the walls of this great city. We're talking about placing these stones upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders. In that Christ laid these foundations. There are no other foundations. You know, I say this a lot of times. Abraham was searching and seeking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He said, "This city hath foundations." Someone would say, "Well, this city right here, Brother Pike, this little city right here, Cherokee's got foundations." Brethren, you know that this whole world don't have any foundation. They've done gone up there and flew around like a bird all around this world, and they found out he ain't got no foundations at all. It's just a ball floating around up there. See, even New York doesn't have any foundations. London doesn't have any foundation. But there is a city that will be unmovable. The Bible said, "Whose builder and maker is God, this city hath foundations." And Abraham said, "I'm searching for that city whose builder and maker is God." That's why I'm here in Cherokee tonight. I am part of the operation of the wise master builder with the Word of God to try to correlate and to do His will, to establish His kingdom in the earth, to orient you in Christ, to bring your minds into more than just a religious stride in life, and let you see the importance of being a Christian and the urgency of doing what you can in a hurry. So the Bible said the king's matter requires haste. Why do you want to do that, Brother Pike? Because we're on the verge of the appearing of the desire of all nations. The desire of all nations is so close. You don't realize how close he is. The desire of all nations is close by. And the desire of all nations is at hand. And even the meeting that we're having right here in the Cherokee area has to do with the desire of all nations. That's why he sent me to the Cherokee area, because he told me, let me know, made me to understand that he is at hand. The desire of all nations is at hand. And folks, I'm telling you again, God must of necessity have your attention, because if he doesn't get your attention, you're going to be destroyed. You might say, well, I'm going to wait for Thessalonians change, but I'm telling you that you've got to be changed from glory to glory. I'm going to say this as I often say, there is no such thing as teachings of the rapture in the Bible. I know churches, you know, especially Pentecostal churches, they say, we're going to be raptured away, Brother Pike. There is no such terms in the Bible. There is no such teachings in the Bible. The teachings is that you are changed from glory to glory. And that from the innermost part of your being, as Christ communicates with your outer man. And your understanding, you are changed from glory to glory. And when Paul speaks in Thessalonians, he doesn't say anything about a rapture. He says, and a change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, and then caught up to be with the Lord. But I say again, before you get a diplomacy, you have to spend some days in school, folks. And before you get to the ultimatum of that change, if you're planning to make that change, you better get started on your glory to glory work, your homework and your schoolwork in God, and get your minds oriented into things of Christ, because at the moment of the desire of all nations, when he appears, you will not make the change. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we've been born again. I tell you again, if you don't listen to the Word of God, if you don't follow through the Word of God, you may be a believer. You may belong to a church. You might have been taught that you're going to be caught away. You may be waiting for that. But that doesn't prove a thing. It doesn't prove that you've got anything. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be left behind, because when that great light comes to make contact, it's going to make contact with something. There's got to be something in there for it to make contact with. If a great magnet moved over this area here, if it was going to find anything, it would have to have some metallic thing that would be relative to it to make contact. And if it moved over, say you had something moving over this that was to make contact with iron, you could pass over brass, you could pass over silver, you could pass over anything else, but it would make contact. It might be a lot of stuff out there, but the only things that would make contact would be that substance that had the thing in it that was relative to the thing that was passing over it, which would be the magnet. And folks, when Christ starts passing over you, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When he starts passing over you, when he starts coming down, that great light starts coming, when the desire of ages starts coming, if there isn't something on the inside of you that's relative to him, there won't be any contact as to pick you up and to carry you away. So you may be churchy. You might have been churchy for a long time. Man, I'm trying not to holler at you tonight. You might not be churchy. You might be one of those that's looking for the truth. That could be the reason that you're here tonight. Sometimes people come just to speculate. They come to spy out the liberties. They come to find out what's going on, you know. And then there are those that come to seek Christ. So it could be that maybe you came to seek the Lord tonight, to find out the truth. We're glad to have you here tonight. See some of our Indian brothers and sisters back here. Appreciate having these people here with us. Love to reach the Indian people. We preached to them in Canada in different places. Preached to them in Canada years and years ago. And then we was back up not too long ago and had a few of them out to our meeting there. But we're glad to be up here to preach to you, because we are here to preach the gospel to every creature. To go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. This is what we're trying to do. And the Lord has blessed us to be able to get into many foreign languages to reach the people. Traveled into many places, reaching the people. And so we're in Cherokee tonight for that reason. I wonder, having said these few things to you tonight, I wonder how many of you have taken me seriously as to what I have said. And I know that you've listened. You've been a real good audience. You've given me your undivided attention, and you've listened. But I wonder, seriously, how many of you is going to incorporate these things in your lifestyle, or going to take up some time to search and to seek out a body of people or a place or something that you can get a hold of that'll make you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you are planning to do that. How many of you are planning to go along with your superficial way of life? Just continue on with your religious stride, you know, doing the things of the world, involved in the things of the world, out there in the things of the world. I tell you, at the coming of the Lord, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost at the coming of the Lord. That's why I'm here. I'm here to tell you. I'm God's spokesman. I'm here to tell you. Not me speaking, but God speaking to you. The Bible said, "First shall not be the minister speaking, but God from within his temple speaking to the people. Let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple." And so then God is here within this human body tonight to reason with you and to talk with you and to tell you not to do those things. I one time did those things. I one time was out there in the world. I one time was following after the things of the world. But God took me out of those things, and God put me into the realms of Christ and brought me into the Holy Spirit and taught me how to walk in the Spirit. And tonight I walk in the Spirit, that I might not fulfill the desire of the flesh. The Bible said, "Make no provisions for the flesh, that you might fulfill the lust thereof." Come out from the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Playing around with the things of the world and having the things of the world, is it worth it? Paul said the beggarly elements of the world. Is it worth it to lose your eternal life? Had you rather be like Esau? Had you rather lose your life, lose your birthright by messing around with things out there, playing around with things out there, the foolish things of the world and the foolish things that's in your mind and the lust of the flesh? Had you rather have that? Had you rather have that? Would you give up eternal life for that? You know, I've said this a number of times, just the millennium age, 1,000 years, is probably 10, 12, 14 lifetimes as to an equality of the few little years that you have here. If you didn't get anything in exchange but that, it would be worth going after it. But folks, you get life eternal. And this little old thing that you have that you call life is but a few days and full of trouble, Solomon said. You can have everything you want, from money to whatever. Just have your way. Let your flesh go like David did, like Solomon did. And let the dart strike through the liver and go down to the pit. But there's one thing about it. It's a few days and full of trouble. It doesn't matter how much you have, what you have, prestige or money or whatever. It's a few days and full of trouble. But I'll tell you something. If you'll take God and you'll walk with Christ and you'll do the things that God wants you to do, and you'll honor the Lord with your substance, as to your body, as to your eyes, as to whatever you might have, and apply yourself in God, conform to the Lord, surrender completely. Like the songwriter said, "I surrender, Lord, I surrender all. All to thee, Lord, I surrender all." And you walk with the Lord, and you do it this way. You'll enjoy this life, and he won't let you go lacking for food, nor clothing, nor houses, nor lands, nor anything else. And the Bible said there's no man or woman, they've never left things for God, but what he give a manifold more in this life. Even houses and lands and wives and husbands and whatever you've left them, children, whatever. He said, "I will give you manifold more in this life if you leave it. I will not only give you eternal life, but in this life you shall receive 100-fold of restoration and of all the things that ye desire, and then in the world to come, eternal life." So then you see, it's a wonderful experience to follow Christ. I want you to stand with me. We're going to take just a few minutes here. I didn't holler at you much tonight. Raised my voice a few times. Whereas I have a right to do that. The Bible said, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins, the house of Jacob, of their wrongs. They delight to know me. They take delight in approaching unto me, saying, 'We've fasted and we've done all these things, and you've not noticed. Why is it, God, that you haven't paid any attention to us?'" Where's the Bible said you fast for strife? You do all these things just as a way of lifting up personality or lifting yourself up or to get monetary values or gains in the world. Sad to say that a lot of preachers do that. It's very sad to say that, but it is true. They do it. I appreciate you being here tonight. We're only here for these 3 nights. Tonight's the last night of it. We got a pretty good crowd tonight. Numbers of families went back home today. We had at least 6. I know we had 6 states or more represented here, people from different states. And a lot of them really wanted to stay. They wanted to stay here. They told me that they did, but they had to get back. Some to their own churches. Some to businesses. They had to go back. Short notice of the meeting. Only 3 nights. Once we got it going. But we're here to worship the Lord tonight. And we're here to love the Lord. You're here. And as I say, we have a good crowd of folks. We had this thing filled up, just hardly a cheer of what it wasn't filled up last night. And God bless. But we had an interference right at the first of the service, whereas we had one tonight. We just kind of rode on over it, because tonight it was an innocency to the extent that the man thought he was doing the right thing. And he only created a problem for me. But you've listened real good. Real good. I've not even had to holler at you. Just raise my voice a little bit. And you've listened real good. And I've not took very long. I just condensed a few things to bring it to you concerning the desire of the nations. He's called the desire of nations. He's on the verge of coming. He's close. Being here at Cherokee has such a great significance as to the coming of the desire of nations that if you knew tonight, if you understood tonight, and if you wasn't really prayed up and in fast, in real steadfast with God, or in tight with God, if you wasn't tonight, you know what would happen? You'd lose your mind. Your nerves would break down. Oh, you say it wouldn't happen to me. It'd happen to you. You'd go start raving mad tonight, or you'd break down in your nerve system. That's how close it is. Oh, you can't know that, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, the Bible said we know when it's nigh, even at the door. You know, when somebody's knocking on your door, that's pretty close, isn't it? If you know about that, if you say, hey, there's somebody knocking on the door there, you know pretty much about what's going on. You know how close it is, isn't that right? So we know when it's nigh, even at the door. We're not children of darkness that day should come upon us unaware. We know. But ye are children of darkness, and ye shall not know when that day shall come upon ye. For he shall come upon you unawares, and in the hour that you think not, then the desire of all nations shall come. And so then, he is nigh even at the door. Knowing and understanding these things, ye that are children of light, you know this is true. You know that this is true. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Appreciate you listening. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over. Sing it with me like this now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee, I need thee now, precious
Savior. Oh, how I need thee.
Sing it like this now.
Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away.